Thanks for listening to Marketing B2B Tech, the podcast from Napier, where you can find out what really works in B2B marketing today. Welcome to Marketing B2B Technology, the podcast from Napier. Today, I'm joined by Stéphane Dubois. Stéphane is the CEO of Pointer Pro. Welcome to the podcast, Stéphane.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
It's great to have you on. And we'll talk a little bit about this later, but actually it's really interesting. You're actually the CEO of Pointer Pro. We've recently signed up as a customer of Pointer Pro, like the product so much, we wanted to get you on to talk about the product. But before we dig into Pointer Pro, perhaps we can just find out a little bit more about your background, Stéphane. So can you tell me a little bit about your career?
Yeah, sure. My educational background is engineering. I started immediately after my studies in consulting, and that's where I stayed for about 15 years, I think. I started with Pricewaterhouse in 98. That's a long time ago, and then became PricewaterhouseCoopers. And then I switched to CSC, Computer Science Corporation, which is now called DXC. So, I mean, in that industry, there's quite a lot of mergers and so on. Yeah, in consulting, I was mainly involved in large-scale ERP implementations, like ERP, like management systems for companies like SAP and the likes. And we did implement those systems with large multinationals like Nestle or Atlas Copco and similar kind of company. But then I always had the feeling or the wish to do something myself, to start a company as an engineer, to create a product and also create a company around that product. And then, of course, as I was like professionally involved with software, enterprise software, that became the most logical choice. Also back then, a lot of the barriers that you used to have to start a software company were becoming less important. Like you didn't have to buy your own servers. Everything goes via the cloud. No expensive software because a lot of development software was available open source.
And that's interesting. And you've decided to start a company in Belgium. I mean, obviously because you live there, but how is the startup culture in Belgium? I mean, it's not necessarily as renowned as somewhere like Berlin, is it, for startups?
No, that's true. But it's not that bad. We sometimes complain a lot, but there's a lot of initiatives to support startups. Sometimes you have to find which initiative fits you the best. But even back then, not talking about 14 years ago, we participated in an incubator program from KBC. That's a large Belgian bank. And I mean, it's a huge, huge benefit for us, like both network, talking to people that have done certain things before in different areas, legal, commercial, everything. But also just having the office space, having, if you go to the coffee machine, that you have someone to talk to, it can sound maybe a small thing, but I think it's important versus before we were just at home, the two of us, me and my co-founder. And yeah, we didn't have this kind of interaction. So I must say, and since then, the startup culture in Belgium has evolved. Has become more more professional for other people who consider to start. I would say that this should not be a barrier to start in Belgium.
Well, that's nice to hear. It's good that Belgium's putting effort to supporting startups. So let's move on to talk about Pointer Pro. You mentioned you wanted to start a company based around software development. What led you to decide to found Pointer Pro? I mean, what drove you to look at research and surveys?
Yeah, so first I wanted to start something in the area of CRM, customer relationship management, because that was closer to my experience as a consultant. And then I started doing some research about that. And then I saw like that there were like a lot of competition in that area. So I gave up on that idea. But in the meanwhile, I started something else just to like get used to the state-of-the-art technologies again, because I'm an engineer, but technology has, of course, evolved. So I started like a quiz app, just as a hobby project to get used to the new programming languages and everything. And that was called Tablet Quiz. It was also like the start of the iPad. So quizzes for iPad with like a nice visual, making use of all the possibilities of the iPad. I launched a free product, and that got some traction, not only from people who want to make a quiz about their grandmother or so, but also from professional companies. For example, in the US, that used it for HR events and other things. After a while, and after also talking to these people, we decided to launch that as a formal company, and then we called it Survey Anyplace. That was the name before Pointer Pro, because it was like, beside quizzes, we want also to focus on surveys and the combination of quizzes and surveys. So then that was when the company started.
And so now, I mean, Pointer Pro does a lot more, doesn't it? It does a lot more than just do surveys and quizzes.
Yeah, exactly. So with the surveys, I think we had a good start because we want to make the surveys more interactive and more like we want to improve the experience from the respondents. Yeah? And then also, as a result, get better and more data for the ones that organize the survey. In the beginning, we had some traction, it went well. But then after a while, we have seen that there's a lot of competition on that market. It's kind of a commodity survey or survey software. So we knew, according to the startup logic, that we had to find a niche, that we had to find product market fit, so not just surveys for everybody. Sometimes you try like a certain thing that you want to do, but you only see that it's not working when you have really invested some time and effort in it. That's why it took, from 2012 to 2019, so 7 years. That's a long time. I mean, of course, we had customers as well, but the growth was not really spectacular. 2019, we have added the reporter functionality, so that you don't have only the questionnaire, but that after having completed the questionnaire, that the respondent gets a customized report, like a personalized report, depending on the answers that he or she has given in the questionnaire. And those that was really the killer functionality, or the combination of those two, the questionnaire and the report, that we needed to find that product market fit.
That's fantastic. And I mean, just to explain to people what the report does, can you give us some examples of how your customers are using this reporting function? What are they actually doing with it?
Yeah, you have, for example, the common goal is always to automate advice. Before, with the surveys, it was more like data collection, but now it's to collect the data. That's a first step, but then the data is used to get some or to extract some customized advice. Like, for example, financial advice. We have a customer of ours who has the website freefinancialplan.com. It's worth looking at it. It's a US customer. And there's a financial assessment. You enter your data, like your income, assets, and other details. And then you get a personalized financial advice plan, which can say like you have to go for this kind of investment or that kind of investment and so on, but quite detailed. And of course, in that plan, there's also links to other third-party vendors who can help you to implement that advice. So that's one example. Other examples are like cybersecurity, maturity assessments, but also HR. Some assessments often associated with HR, but HR is a minority, but still an important use case, like well-being assessments, psychological assessments, and so on.
And I think one thing a lot of companies are doing, particularly in the B2B sector, is they're using these online reports or diagnostics to actually generate leads. It's all about lead generation, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, we have both lead generation our main focus for customers is professional services. It's still quite broad. And professional service companies can use it for lead generation before to give it to a prospect before someone is becoming a customer. Then they can also use it during project delivery to automate the advice delivery. Yeah. But the lead generation is an interesting use case. In marketing, I think we have two trends. You have a trend towards content marketing, like give more educational content to your customers. And then in that way, you educate them and you are seen as an authority. That's one trend. And the second trend is personalization, I think. Like thanks to data and all the information that you have about your audience, like to try to personalize the message as much as possible. So the assessments are really at the crossroads of those two trends, I think, because you give content. So when, for example, a cybersecurity assessment is on the website of a consultant that is specialized in that area, people can answer the question. They invest some time, but they get some useful content in return, which is valuable and which also builds trust. So you have your content, and secondly, you have also the personalization, because you don't have, that's the advantage against like a generic white paper about cybersecurity. if I have, as a business owner, to read a white paper about like 20 pages about cybersecurity, I'm not that interested in comparison to when I have like a one pager that says, okay, based on your answer, these are the three things that you have to focus on in cybersecurity. And that's exactly what we want to do with our tool.
I think that's a great point, Stefan. I think that hugely personalized advice, I mean, traditionally people would have done that by getting a survey and then having somebody, you know, manually go through, make the recommendations, maybe even meet with the client. Now it's automated. And it's a really good way, I think, from my point of view, of helping people move along that customer journey a little bit quicker by automating some of the stages that would have slowed down. So, you know, when somebody's in that mindset about talking about their problems, they're then getting almost immediately some answers. So I really love that. I think it's a great feature of Pointer Pro.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we call it sometimes like, it's fast onboarding, but also like in with consulting talk, time to business value, reduce time to business value. What you hear a lot about consultants from customers is that it takes too long to get results, really. And then like this initial phase, like the collection of the as-is situation, as we used to call it, like the current situation, collection about data, like, and then also giving the first most straightforward advice, that can be, of course, shortened thanks to technology, thanks to our tool.
Absolutely. And what about the future? I mean, is there a direction you see Pointer Pro going in, or some features that, you know, you're planning to add to enhance the performance?
Yes, of course. So our product vision is that every professional service company, like in the future, will offer services to its customers, of course. But besides the services, will also offer a digital tool to their customers, like a kind of portal that the customers can use to log in, and that they can use to do three things, basically: to do self-assessments, to get personalized advice, and to monitor their performance. So that's easy to say, but we are far from that. If you look at the reality where the consultants are, I mean, we are also a customer from various consultants in various areas. There is also, except for Deloitte, there is nobody that really has a portal with like this kind of information that I can use to follow up these things, to get advice and so on. So there's still a lot of work to do. So we want to help to reach that vision for the consultants. Yeah, more concretely in our products, I think especially for the performance monitoring, we still have some work to do. So we are going to work on dashboarding, where the content of the dashboards will not only contain information from the assessments, but also from third-party sources, because we see that sometimes the information has to be combined. The assessment is not the only source. So that can be done then via professional services or also by the customer. But that's important. And that's the second important thing, it's integration, like integrations with other systems. We can already do it now, but we want to do it more easier, but no code, so that you can do it without an IT guy or girl. I mean, not that we don't like IT, but mostly it slows down the process, so that anybody can integrate our Pointer Pro system with their internal systems. That's the second thing that we are working on. And then the third thing is also AI, of course, where we think that this will be part of every software tool in the future, including ours, to increase productivity from the users. And we see it especially in kind of an assistant when you are making the assessment and also the report, that it can assist in not only the content, but also the design. For example, that it could look at the design of your website and you say, like, okay, I'm going to apply that design to the report. And then maybe it's 80% ready, and then the 20 remaining percent has to be done by a human, but then still you have a huge time gain, of course, thanks to AI. So that's what we are also looking into.
I love those features. I think they're you know, really interesting. And the idea of being able to create these diagnostics and reports even more quickly, I think would be super useful. I mean, one thing I'm interested in is, you know, you've mentioned that a lot of your business is in the consultancy sector. What we're seeing with clients is a lot of product companies are actually trying to really grow their consultancy business. And so they're moving away from being, you know, purely driven by selling things and much more about, you know, selling their knowledge and expertise. Are you seeing this? And are you seeing this also drive more interest from, you know, what might be seen as engineering or manufacturing industries?
Yeah. What I see, I mean, in software companies like ours, like product companies, these are not manufacturing companies because we don't make physical things, of course. But what I see is that customers are more and more asking like for a combination of software and the services, because I'm convinced the software on itself will not generate any business results as a standalone thing. I mean, you have to activate it. You have to make sure that your users are using it in the correct way. And I mean, of course, you can automate, but you still have to do often some services. And then like traditional companies, when I was in consulting, those big companies like SAP and other software companies, but you see it now with Salesforce and even with HubSpot also, they do it with partners. So they say, okay, partner does a service and we do the software. And it's been usually beneficial for those companies because it allows them to scale. If you have the partner network, you don't have to worry about those services. The partners can do it and you can focus on the software. Now we as a small company, I mean, we cannot yet afford like such a partner network. Also for partners, our software is too small to earn like a lot of money. So then we try to do the services ourselves, but these are only the services that are directly related to our software. We are not going to advise on content, like on cybersecurity assessment, which questions to ask, so because we are not specialists. Our customers are specialists, so we don't want to take over the job of our customers, of course. But like more technical things or design or so, we do it also for them. And to have it all in one, that offering has been beneficial for us. Maybe there is also like competitors who are not self-funded, are more under pressure of VCs. VCs don't like services, or they only like 10% or so services. Those VC looking over our shoulder, so we can do as much service as we want, or I mean, we can do it independently.
That's really interesting, actually, because you're absolutely right. I mean, with startups, VCs are very reluctant to fund startups that are service driven because they see it's not being scalable. But when you get large established enterprises, you know, who are multi-billion dollar corporations, they're all moving into the service industry. So it seems to be an interesting time where large companies want to get out of products and small companies want to get into them. I mean, thank you for talking a lot about Pointer Pro, Stefan. I'm interested to know some other things as well. So, I mean, one of the things that fascinates me is when we talk to guests on the podcast is how they approach marketing. And I'm really interested from your point of view, what are the most effective tactics for promoting Pointer Pro?
Traditionally, when we started, we have always focused on inbound marketing. So meaning that people find you online and then come on your website and then see your offering and are interested and then get in touch with you, and then you can convert them into a customer. So inbound marketing, more specifically, search, both organic search. When you just started, just like in the beginning, then it was more like a personal network. It's what I would advise also to other starters. So personal network, to have some large logos, hopefully you have some then in your network and you can convert them. So we had, for example, a big Belgian bank here as a customer in the early days. And then you use that to go beyond your network, because it's important to go beyond your network pretty quickly, because that proves that you can really make a business on top of it. And then we started, as I said, with content marketing / SEO, so search engine optimization. Back then, it was maybe easier than now. I mean, it always becomes more difficult, of course, but we got some traction organically. And then afterwards, when we started the assessments in 2019, the value of our license or the price became higher. And it became worthwhile to do paid advertising also, especially Google AdWords, some other channels also, Capterra for software vendors, quite interesting. But then, yeah, the combination of the two, organic search, then paid search, and then also like the third one is online presence, like for example, on Capterra, on G2, this review site, but also on other publications, that you are like literally everywhere. If you type like assessment software, that you are in the paid results, in the organic results, and also on the third party sites like Capterra and G2, that's where we want to be. But then of course also other channel that we are looking into now, we are already doing those, because we are quite dependent on inbound, and there is also like it's not infinitely scalable, because there's only so many searches per month on those keywords which are interesting for us. So now we are trying to do two additional channels, like top of funnel, more brand awareness, and making sure that people know us before they need us. Yeah, it's easier said than done. So that's the first one. And the second thing is on our existing customers, trying to expand. For example, if we have Deloitte Netherlands as a customer, try to sell also in the other countries where Deloitte is present. It would be a pity not to do that if you have these kind of customers. It's easier to get business in an existing customer than always having to acquire new customers.
I love the way, you know, obviously as an engineer, you structured that approach to marketing. And I think it's great that it's a very structured, sequential approach, and very interesting, a really useful lesson for people.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we try to also measure everything. That's the advantage, of course, of digital marketing. We try to measure everything, like the funnel, the conversions, and so on, depending on the source. That being said, we will also try to do some non-digital things, like, don't know if you have heard of Jason Lemkin. In one of his podcasts, he talks about 10 marketing tactics that you should apply. And to our surprise, we almost did none of them. The two that we are going to do now is one that he said, like, is do a weekly webinar and do it about your, not only about your product. I mean, sometimes about your product, sometimes about something like which is related to your product, but not immediately about your product, but do it weekly. We do it now bi-weekly because of capacity constraints. And it doesn't matter if there's only five attendees or so. You just do it consistently and you can reuse it. Of course, we put it on YouTube and we can do content purposing, like other types of content. So that's one thing that we are doing now. And the second thing what we want to do, and that's a non-digital thing, is what he says is organizing steak dinners. It doesn't have to be steak if you have some customers who are vegetarian. It can also be other kinds of dinners, but face-to-face dinners, just small-scale restaurants. And you put three prospects and three customers together on a table, together with, of course, someone of Pointer Pro. And no formal presentation. You can give some more informal presentation about the roadmap. And that always works. And I also know it from my previous company, from in consultant. When you put prospects together with customers, it always works. Of course, you have to take happy customers, but otherwise they will not come when you invite them to a steak dinner. So if you are a candidate, we can have the next, can you on the next steak dinner.
Oh, I love that. That's great. I really appreciate, you know, you giving us your time, Stefan. There's just a couple of questions we'd like to ask everybody at the end of the podcast. And the first one is, what's the best bit of marketing advice you've ever been given?
Yeah, probably to double down on what works instead of trying to experiment with new things all the time. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to do experimentation, I think. We also do it. But yeah, don't fall into the shiny new object syndrome. And most of the effort should go to double down on what works, I think.
I thought you were going to say there, eat at more nice restaurants, but so that's great advice. So I love that, double down on what works. And then the last question is, you know, if you were talking to a young person that was thinking about a career in marketing, what would your advice be?
Probably get some knowledge about technology and even programming, but programming also, I mean, also the no-code tools to design your own application before getting into marketing and to create something yourself, maybe solving a personal problem or something else, and then go into marketing. That will give you an additional advantage, I think. So get a little bit familiar with technology first, and then you go into marketing. Doesn't, of course, mean that the basic principles of marketing, like with the digital marketing, the basic principles of like knowing your customer, and also this move toward content marketing and try instead of trying to sell your product, those principles are still very important. But I would, if you have the chance to get familiar with technology before, I would recommend that.
I love that. That's great advice. And I'm also previously was an engineer, so anything to do with technology is a good thing. Stefan, I really appreciate it. It's been fascinating. We're really excited at Napier. We're fairly early on in our journey with Pointer Pro and trying out some projects, but you know, things look great. If anyone listening to the podcast would like to try Pointer Pro or find out more, where would be the best place to go?
Yeah, for Pointer Pro is the website, pointerpro.com. You can, of course, try it out. You can get a demo. You can also find information about more the underlying principles about how to automate your consulting. We have blog articles, testimonials, and so on that you can explore. And when you want to find out about me or get in touch, then you can also use LinkedIn and just find it through my name, Stefan Dubois. I will be happy to get in touch with listeners to help or to exchange experiences.
Stefan, I really appreciate it. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Thanks so much for listening to Marketing B2B Tech. We hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you did, please make sure you subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast application. If you'd like to know more, please visit our website at napierb2b.com or contact me directly on LinkedIn.